This morning, we're going to turn in the Word of God to Luke chapter 17, and we're going to consider the incident of the 10 lepers, but more particularly what the 10 lepers found. In fact, more particularly than that, what one of the 10 lepers found as he fell at Jesus' feet. And I want us to be thinking as we go through this, what might I find at Jesus' feet? So with that in mind, we're going to start our reading at verse 11 and read through verse 19 of Luke chapter 17. And the scripture says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go, show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, saying, or giving thanks unto him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole.'" Amen. We trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake. Before we go any further, let's just ask the Lord to meet with us. Father in heaven, now we would pray that you will bless the word of God. We would pray that thou wilt let it speak of Christ to our hearts. We pray that the Spirit will be the applier of the word, that in truth we might find ourselves not just hearing, but Lord, heeding and believing that which is said in the word, even to our own hearts today. Make the word to be that which is a word to us all. Lord, bless then. Meet with us. Help me as thy servant, I pray. For we ask it all in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. I propose this morning to deal very simply with the text at hand. And I'm going to do that by first just making a comment about the setting in which we read these words. The time in which the incident at hand occurred is somewhat hard to pin down. It appears that it could have taken place any time within the last 6 months in which the Lord Jesus walked in the region of Galilee and by the border of that area known as Samaria. It was stated from the time that he was in Caesarea Philippi that he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Well, that incident in Caesarea Philippi took place at least 6 months before he finally came to endure the cross. So you have a half a year in which the Lord Jesus continued to walk and minister amongst those in that northern section of Israel and on the borders of Samaria before he did make his way finally to Jerusalem. But I will say this, the time of the occurrence of this incident is of no consequence. The place is of no real consequence either. What is of the greatest importance is this, that the Lord Jesus hears the cry of those that seek him, and that also he is able to undo the whole of the curse of sin by the power of his word. That is the center of the whole incident at hand. It has very little to do with the time, the place, or even the men. It has to do all with Christ. Beyond what I have just said, I want us to understand that there is a valuable lesson here in the nature of what true seeking of the Lord Jesus is, and what the nature of faith unto salvation is as well. Perhaps we may also see that there is a possibility to know the outward blessings of the power of the Lord at work and yet miss the truly full meaning of coming to that place where the heart knows the confirmation of faith within. There's a number of different things that we could note from this incident. Would like us this morning to think on them. And again, as I said, I want to be as simple as possible. So I'm going to frame my consideration in three parts. First, I want us to notice the 10, the 1, and the Lord. So with that in mind, I want us to consider then this incident. First, starting with the 10, keeping in mind this theme, that salvation is coming to Christ. That is just plain and simple. Salvation is coming to Christ. So I want us to think about these 10 men, these 10 lepers that were in this certain place. It's been said by some, I remember one particular commentator that I was reading even yesterday, made mention that this was a particularly sweet scene. This incident that we have here was a very wonderful scene in its nature for its mercies, its graces, and the spiritual sweetness. I will say to you, though, it is not sweet because of the time, it was not sweet because of the place, and it was not sweet because of the men involved. These did not make this to be a wondrous time. It is not a sweet moment because we see men on their way being healed and delivered from the awful life that they had come to know because of their disease. That is a nice thing, a wonderful thing to know and to note, but that's not the thing that makes this a sweet moment. Also, I would say this, it is not sweet because of the interaction between the men and the Lord Jesus, for there was very little of that was to be seen. Rather, what makes this a sweet scene indeed is the view that we are offered of the Lord Jesus himself. Now, it is not to be unnoticed that the Lord was found in the place where misery was at a peak and need was front and center. This is the way of the Lord Jesus. You know, oftentimes our minds tell us that when misery and need arise, that the Lord removes himself from us because of the issues of our heart and the repugnant nature of our sin. You know, that's the furthest thing from the truth. In the moment of need, in the moment when there is a great misery, that's when you find the Lord Jesus at his closest. Christ comes to the broken, the needy, and the lost. He is the friend of sinners. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3 says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That is the nature of the Lord's work among men. He is that one who comes to those that are miserable. And here we have the Lord being found of the hopeless and helpless, which quite bluntly is but a picture of us all. However, there is a very serious lesson to be noted as we look at this scene. It's not at all as simple and without warning as it may seem. I want us to take a look at the men, those that cried out for mercy. I want us to look at these. Now, we know one was a Samaritan. We know that the region that was spoken of here was that area that was connecting Galilee and Samaria. Now, it may be that these men were a mix of Jews and at least one Samaritan. You know, misery oftentimes breaks down the barriers that previously disallowed association. There may be significance that nine went on their way to the priest because they were Jews and knew the instruction of Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. But I want you to think about this. The Samaritan may have been more thoughtful than the other nine, for he would likely not have been so readily received by the priests as the Jews were. For him, it was a question of, I don't even believe as they have. And we know that the Samaritans are different in their way of thinking and are considered as an offscouring. In fact, they are unclean just by the nature of their birth in the eyes of the Jews. Perhaps there was some hesitation in his mind, even as he was instructed, go to the priests. Nevertheless, in obedience to the Lord, these ten make a common trek toward the place where the priests were to be found, and in so going, they are healed. This may seem all glorious, but there may be something to note that is far from that. I want us to think first, as we look at these ten men, on what I'm calling the common occurrence. There was a moment in which the whole of the ten found themselves in the same situation and experiencing the same blessing of the Lord. You say, what do you mean? Well, first, think of this. All ten knew who Jesus was. They all knew who Jesus was. You know, it is evident that Christ was readily recognized and widely known for his miracles. These men were not at all ignorant of who Jesus was. Now, I want you to think about this with me. Is that not the case of so many today? There are many who are not ignorant of who Jesus is. They're not ignorant of what the Scripture says about Jesus. They're not ignorant about the things that the Scripture says Jesus can do and what he has done. There's not an ignorance of Christ. These all, ten of them, knew who Jesus was. And again I say, few today do not know who the Lord Jesus is. I want you to keep that in mind, because so many think in many ways that becoming a Christian is merely acknowledging who Jesus is. These men knew. Second, they all called out to Jesus from afar. Now, here's a point of great interest. You know, J.C. Ryle makes this statement. He says, most men do not cry out for mercy because they do not feel their disease. It is not that they have not been told of it. They know it very well. It is not that men do not speak of it to them. It is that they are not desperate in the least. Why do men not call out to the Lord Jesus? Because they don't feel a need. But when a man finds his soul's ailment, he soon learns to pray. These men began to call on the Lord Jesus. But the point I want you to see is this. Even though they called on Christ and they asked for mercy, they did not come close to Christ. Now, this is a point that is tied to their disease and the requirements of it. But unlike the man in Mark chapter 1 who came and fell at his feet, these stayed at a distance from Christ. They stayed their distance from coming to the feet of Jesus. They were unlike the leper who came and said, Master, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That's not how these men were. You know, many, and I say think of this, many want the blessings of Christ And many want the mercy of the Lord Jesus, but are hesitant to come near and fall at his feet. There's something to note here. Third, these men, all 10 of them, called the Lord Jesus Master. And I say there's a very pointed manner here. These men called the Lord Jesus by a name that indicated their knowledge both of his station and of his authority. They acknowledged that he was as no other. He is Master. Again, I want you to keep that in mind. These men called Christ Lord. You see, why are you making points of this? Because I want you to check these things off in your mind as you're going down through. Because many people would think, if these things are true, then there must be a relationship with Christ. I want you to see what they did. Fourth, they all obeyed and went on their way to the priests. The point here is that there was complete compliance to the instruction of the Lord. They showed no hesitation, and there was no questioning of the Lord. There was nothing in them that showed that they expected something other than what Christ told them. There was no, well, he didn't say for us to be clean or that we should be healed. He didn't do something manually with us that he's done with others. There was none of that. They went their way. They obeyed the Lord, and they went their way. And then last, I want you to see this. They all found the cure to their disease. They all found the cure to their disease. All 10 of them knew the same things. You know what you might want to add? Well, I was going to say you might want to ask. I always ask these kinds of things because I've just got one of those minds that always wants to know the little things that don't make any difference. I was wondering as I was thinking on this portion, how far did the men walk before they realized they were healed? We say, well, was it 5 steps? Was it 500 yards? Was it 5 miles? How far was it? Well, I say this, it was far enough for the one who turned back. It says that he returned. So that means that they went some little distance because he had to return over the distance that he went. So there was some distance. I would also say this, it was far enough to determine that they were on their way to the priest. They didn't stop to remark that they were what they were doing didn't make any sense or something of that sort. They were all on their way. They went on a way. Or may I put it to you this way? There was a sense of progress toward an expected end. My point is, all 10 knew these things. They knew who Christ was. They called to Christ. They called him Master. They obeyed when he spoke to them, and they expected something as they went on their way. That was common to them all. Now, I want us to see the common problem. That was the common occurrence, but what was the common problem? I say this, the whole of the actions of the 10 could hardly be questioned until it came to the point where they had realized that they were healed. They were healed. Then what? They knew the blessing and the power of the Lord Jesus. Then what? Now there's a problem that comes. You say a problem? Yes. You know, the Lord Jesus questions the man who returns, and he asks the question, where are the 9? This indicates that there was something different in the man that returned, and also something different in the Lord's view of the 9 that went their way. The Lord says, here's the man that returned. This man is different from them. Where are they? Where are they going? Why are they not here with this man? There was an estimation in the mind of Christ that was different about the 9 that did not return than the man who did. I want you to keep that in mind because that is very important. And I say, here is where the sweet turns sad. Here we consider the 9. You say, what do you mean? I want you to see this. This is my point, and this is a warning. It is possible to know the full blessing of the Lord and yet miss the Lord Jesus. Oh, how many there are today that sit in our churches who have known and experienced the blessing of the Lord. They have experienced a knowledge of who Jesus is. They call Him Master. They work what they imagine to be the work of the Lord. They go on in a way of progress, as it were. They experience the blessing of the Lord, and yet they miss Jesus. Oh, let's not be mistaken here. The blessing that these men knew was real. It was powerful. It was remarkable to everyone that had known their condition previously. These men saw the power of God, yet they missed the Lord. This is a great tragedy. You say, oh, you're just making this up. No, you know, the Lord Jesus comments Himself on men who are in such a state in Matthew chapter 7. He says this. Let's see if it doesn't sound like what we're talking about. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, or maybe we could put Master, Master, have we not prophesied in Thy name? And in Thy name cast out devils, and in Thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh, I say it is possible to be religious as these men obviously were, for they went to the priest in accord with their knowledge of the law of God. They were religious. It is possible to experience the power of God and see the moving of the Lord and even be a part of it and yet miss out on knowing the Lord Jesus. You know, there's a telltale word that's spoken here, even in our reading. It said there in verse 12, there were 10 men that were lepers which stood afar off. I think there's something that's not just poetic in those words, but something that's powerfully suggestive. These men stood afar off. They never did come to Christ. They never did come to His feet. These men saw the Lord Jesus from a distance. They spoke to Him from a distance. They went on their way from their distant place, and they never once came close to the Lord Jesus. My point is simply this. This world is full of people just like this. They believe that Jesus is the Savior. They act like Christians. They go and do Christian things, and they even see the power of God on occasion. Yet they never come to the feet of Christ. They are only going through the motions. These men saw the blessing, but they missed the Savior. Now I want us to consider the One. So here we are at our second point. I want us to consider the One. I want us to see that the matter of this One that is referred to in our reading here is entirely different from the rest. You might say different. Well, how so? He was healed just as the rest. I say He was not healed just as the rest. What occurred in this one man that returned was very different than what took place with the other nine. There was something that was done in the heart of this man that made him do what the others did not. Understand this. As that man went, something changed in him. As that man went, as the Samaritan went, there was a change that occurred in him. You say, sure, yes, he was healed. Well, he was. And I say that is a completely superfluous fact. That is a beside the point. You say, well, that's what it all is about. No, sir. There is something that took place in him that did not happen in the other. What happened to him physically is completely beside the point. His physical healing allowed him to live but for a few more years on this earth. But what was done in him as he went changed him for eternity. Oh, may I simply say this? No man comes to the feet of Jesus. No man comes to the feet of Jesus without the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit making him alive to behold Christ. There was something that the faith of this man did in him that did not occur in the others, and that is that as he was made alive, he had to turn about to see Jesus. There's the nature of regeneration. There's the object of regeneration. There's the power of regeneration to be seen there. And I say this plainly, no man who is truly made alive by the power of the Spirit will fail to come to the feet of Jesus. It cannot happen. When you are given the regenerating faith from the Spirit of God, that must find Jesus. And you see this man, as he was made alive, he said, I've got to turn around. I've got to go back to Christ. You know, John 6 and 37, a wonderful verse that you could apply to this scene and to every other scene where there's a sinner that comes to Christ. The Lord Jesus says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. This man came to the feet of Christ because he belonged to Christ. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Even though he's a rotten Samaritan? Yes. Even though he's a sinner of the worst sort? Yes. Even though he's a diseased man in the eyes of the world? Yes. Oh, he was an outcast of the worst sort. He was a sinner. He was a man impaired. You say impaired? Huh? Yes. Understand that this disease that he had also affects the thinking. Leprosy can affect the whole system of a human body. His thinking perhaps was not right, yet he was received of Christ. I say, this was a singular event. A singular event. And you say, well, be more specific. Okay. So, under this, I want you to see this. He was the only one that drew near. Only one of those that knew the healing of the Lord Jesus was to come to the feet of Christ. And I say, here is a plain, visible, and active form of a demonstration of what conversion and saving faith is. This is just very simple. People say, what does it mean to be saved? What it means to be saved is, it is coming to Jesus. It is not believing certain things. It's not holding certain doctrines. It's not making a particular confession. I'm afraid that there are many who consider themselves confessional, trusting in what they say they believe as the proof that they are a Christian. Not at all. Becoming a Christian means coming to Christ. You come to Jesus. He was the only one to find himself before the Lord and to hear the glorious words of the Lord. Verse 19, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Literally, those words, made thee whole, is rather, hath saved thee. Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath saved thee. There is something that happened with him that didn't with the others. He was saved. And I say this was not merely a pronouncement of physical healing. This, I want you to understand, verse 19 was a declaration of how this man appeared in the sight of God. Understand that. Arise, thy faith hath saved thee. God sees you as one who is now just in his sight. I think in many ways you have in picture form with what this man has done and what this man received, what is spoken of by Paul in Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. This man was the only one that drew near. This man was the only one who knelt and glorified God. Now you might say, well, how is this point different from the one you just said? This man glorified God. Oh, I want you to see this. By the grace of God. And this is no small thing. By the grace of God, this man was allowed to point to the character and person of the Lord Jesus. That's what it's meaning when he's saying he returned glorifying God. This is a testimony. This is a praise for the work of God in regeneration. This is the product of faith. I say there is a great joy that is the part of every true believer. You say, what's that? It's that we're able to uplift the name of the Lord Jesus. This man was allowed by God to preach about the mercy of God. That's how it's different. This man fell at the feet of Jesus and he uplifted the name of Jesus. You want to know whether your faith is real? What do you have to say about Christ? We have a hymn that we sing from time to time. What think ye of Christ is the test. What do you think of the Lord Jesus? Are you willing to say it? Are you, when you come to the Lord Jesus, who is he? If you belong to the Lord Jesus, to be able to glorify Christ is to your heart joy unspeakable. To speak of Christ. I will say this also. This man was the only one that heard the voice of confirmation. This man received words that held his heart in peace for the rest of his days. Go in peace. Thy faith hath saved thee. Oh, understand, child of God, there's only one source of peace for your heart. It's not in the changing of our circumstances. Having your circumstances changed do not bring peace to your heart. If that were the case, this man would have been satisfied with the healing of his body as he walked on his way to the priest. That was not what satisfied him. This man was made joyous because he heard the words of Christ. I'm saying the same thing to you. Your peace is tied to the word of God. When we remember the word, we have peace with God and peace from God. And then I want you to see this. He was the only one that was able to go to the priest with his heart healed. The other men, they went with their bodies healed. He went with his heart healed. The Lord Jesus says, go thy way. Now the Lord didn't tell him, dismiss him. He still meant for him to go to the priest. So the idea of go your way was the Lord sending him to the priests. Now we've already mentioned that he could have wondered if the priest would see him at all, for he was a Samaritan. Well, I don't think he had to worry anymore. His faith had saved him. Faith also told him that the matter would also work out just as the Savior intended. He would go and see the priest, for the Lord had told him to go. I'll be seen. Jesus has told me to do it. I will be seen and I'll be declared clean. So I say to you this, he went differently than the nine. He went with his heart healed and the Spirit of God within. So we think, as it were, of the ten in general, we think of this one in particular. And I want us to think on the last thought, and that is, I want us to think about the Lord. As we mentioned a moment ago, this is a very sweet portion to read. Not for the healing of the lepers, but for the sight that it gives of the Lord Jesus. You say, what do you mean? Well, I want you to see this. First, it tells us he is ready to hear and heal men who cannot get near. He's ready to hear and to heal men that cannot get near. Now, how many of us are included in that description? The answer? All of us. We are all those who cannot get near. None of us can get near because of our sins. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul speaks of this very matter. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Unless the Lord Jesus brings you nigh by his blood, you are not ever going to be near. All of us are far off from God, but through the power of the Lord Jesus, we are drawn near. But the point is that he is ready to hear those that are far off and to heal them. What compassion and what a desire to heal the broken lies in the heart of Christ. That's one thing that's sweet. Though I am very far away, the voice, though feeble as it may be, is able to be heard by the ear of the Savior. And then also this. What is sweet is to see that he is willing to heal the worst and most distant of sinners. How many times do we see that in the Scripture? How many times are there those that would be so described? He dealt with the demoniac, Mark chapter 5, healed him, made him to be clothed in his right mind. You read of him dealing with publicans, particularly we think of Zacchaeus. He healed and cleansed and saved the immoral woman at the well in Samaria. He dealt with the thief on the cross in mercy. All of these are the most distant of sinners. This man was uniquely situated in that he was termed a stranger, and yet the Lord saved him. So you say, what's the point? The point is this. Sometimes we are convinced that we are different than other sinners. Our pollution is of a different sort, and our unbelief is too powerful for us to know the grace of God. No. That is flatly untrue. Christ receiveth sinful men, even me, in all my sin. The Lord Jesus receives sinners. But then also this. He doesn't allow the believer to wallow in his malady and sin. He says to this man, arise. There is no need to stay in your defeat. Go forth in joy. You know, there's a very prevalent misperception about the nature of conversion. That we can just continue on as we are, we can continue on loving the things that we do. The Lord Jesus saves us because we have faith in him and our soul is safe. But we can somehow continue to do the things that we have done before. We need to keep in our minds and our hearts the simple statement that is made in Matthew chapter 1, where it says, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He does not save his people in their sins. When he saves, he draws a man out from what he was. He makes him a new creature. He cleans him up. He sets his feet upon a rock. He puts a new song in his mouth. He causes him to be completely different than he was before. I say this man that you read of that came to the Lord Jesus is an example of the nature of conversion. He went forth completely, not only healed without, healed within, and then offered to him the commendation and the encouragements of Christ. Arise and go thy way. Thy faith has saved thee. Now there's something to keep your mind on. And again, all glory goes to the Lord Jesus because every bit of it from start to finish was accomplished by the work of Christ. So my point, the central point that I come to this morning is very simple. And it revolves around this question, have you come to Christ? It's not enough to be religious. It's not enough to simply say the things that the ten said. It is not enough. That's not salvation. Salvation is coming to Christ. Coming to the feet of Christ. Knowing faith that produces an estimation of Christ that makes you want to glorify him and to thank him and to love him. Has that occurred? Well, the point is for us as well that if we do come to Christ, as I said a moment ago, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. What a promise that is. And I've often said to my own soul, that's the promise that you're going to take holding on to right to the grave. Those are words to die on. I don't have much that I can commend myself about. In fact, there isn't anything that I can commend myself about. There's many things that I can look at and see that these are failings indeed. But that's not what I'm leaning on. The Lord Jesus says, if I come to Him, if I come to His feet, if I bow before Him, He will not cast me out, but He will treat me and speak over my soul the same thing as He did over that one man that came and returned glory. Go thy way, thy faith has saved thee. How sits it with our hearts this morning? Jesus is ready to save. May we hear, may we heed, and may we come if we are bidden. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, now we would pray that you'll bless the Word of God. We pray that you will use it in our hearts to see that there is nothing that has to do with us or our religiosity or our self-esteem or all the things that we might do with our mouths that causes us to be saved. It is all through the power and pleasure of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we do bow before Thee. We do exclaim, Thou art in fact indeed the Savior. There is none else. To whom shall we go? Lord, we pray that You'll bless now this word, seal it to hearts. Lord, let the Spirit of God continue to use it in our hearts and minds as we go forth through this day. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.